It is truly good once again to be able to arise on this morning, to come to this place to worship God in spirit and in truth, hand in hand with Jesus. I believe that as we walk about taking care of the things in which we think are necessary, that we need to remember that God directs our path. He will have us to always be pleasing and acceptable unto Him. Amen. And so as we think about that on this morning, we think about our responsibility to this local work. As has already been announced, that on this evening at 3:45, there will be an informative meeting of the West End congregation here. The elders have selected this time in order to talk to the congregation. And so we are encouraging each member to come back at 3:45 to the informative meeting. It is a time to receive information, and also you have that opportunity to ask questions. And as we have gone through this past year, and it is going to be restated again this year, that we are trying to meet with each member, and if there are some other concerns that need to be addressed, we address those during the meeting with that individual and the elders. And so we're asking that you do come back this evening at 3:45 for the informative meeting. On this morning, I would like to direct your minds to understanding authority. Understanding authority. There are many times and many different situations or occasions that we forget about authority. We forget about who is in charge, who has all authority, whose authority are we supposed to be living by. And this may not necessarily be the case here at the West End congregation, but it is the case in other congregations of the Lord's people. And not only congregations of the Lord's people, but also in the denominational world. Authority is being neglected. Individuals are not wanting to look at God's word and see what authority is all about. They just want to go about and do what they are pleased with. Authority is defined as the power or right to give orders, to make decisions, and enforce obedience. This is important that we realize this, that there are two sources of authority, as the scripture reading has already been read, reference to John's baptism. Who is it from? Was it from heaven or from men? We know that as we read that and we see the question being asked and the answer that is given, going to verse 25, Matthew chapter 21, the baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? The question asked by Jesus Christ. And they reason with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, then he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we should say a man, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell you by what authority I do these things. So once again, understanding authority. If it's from heaven, it's God's doctrine, and it has been revealed. It leaves nothing to be doubting, nothing of speculation. And that is what we need to understand as we talk about authority. It's from heaven, it's from God. It's given it to us. We don't have to say, well, I wonder if I do this, is it going to be all right? If I wonder if I do that, is God going to be pleased with me? He's already told us in His Word what He's pleased with and what He's displeased with. If it's from men, it's the doctrines of men, and we understand that to be false. There are many people today that are teaching for the commandments of men. If following after the ways of some man and saying that these men, they have written these books, and they have written these books in order to please themselves and those individuals that follow it. They're following after false teachers. Now, we have to continue to stick with God's Word. Authority is right and lawful. Right and lawful. We have the right to meet here today. We have the right to open up the Bible and study God's Word. And we have the right to worship God in spirit and in truth, because it is by His authority that we do these things. And we understand that God is God. And we understand, coming from the book of Matthew chapter 28, the verses 18, where it says, all authority, not some, but all authority has been given to Jesus Christ. And this authority came from the Father. It says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And we see this, we understand again, then, if we are to assemble on today, whose name are we to assemble in? The name of our Lord and Savior. The one who came to this earth to be crucified, to be buried, to be raised up on the third day. To worship according to the pattern that we find in the book. Because this is where we get our authority from. It's a commandment. A commandment, not something that, well, I think I want to worship on Sunday. It's not a think. You should know that you should be worshiping on Sunday. You should desire to worship on Sunday, because it is a commandment. A right to exercise that power. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Have the right to exercise that power. Jesus gave this right, this command, to ones to go out and to preach the gospel, and we still have that commandment today. Amen. Understanding authority. There are some false standards out there. And when you find those false standards, you have to know that if there's something that's false, there must be something that's true. And when we look at the false standards, it's the feelings. I feel like we should do this, or it makes me feel good when we exercise these things in this manner. Our conscience doesn't bother me. It should not bother you if it don't bother me. Common sense. Well, a lot of times common sense that we think is right is not necessarily right. A lot of people do not know exactly, what to do or how to do it, because they are continuing to look at some man. And then those creeds, those doctrines, those things that they put up on walls, those church covenants that have nothing to do with Bible, false standards. It's by the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we do what we do, and we teach what we teach, and we practice what we practice. The Word of God. And there's a chain of authority. There are many people here that work a secular job, and they go out there and they have to report to some man or some woman. And as they report, they understand that this person is over them. Well, even looking at the Bible, there's a chain of authority. And it starts with our Creator, God. There's no one higher than God. Let us never, ever forget that. God is our Creator. And then we come to His Son, Jesus Christ. Very simple. What other way should it be? God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and we go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1, and also verse 2, and we understand, get a good understanding out of this chain of command. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Who was doing the speaking? It was God. He's the first. He's the Creator. He was in the beginning. Is God. But he says in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. spoken to us in these last days by His Son? There are many people today that are just omitting what those Scriptures teach us. They are not understanding what the chain of authority is. And they're saying that God is still speaking to them today. What is God telling them? Is He saying something other than what He's already said in His Word? It says here in verse 2 again, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. So God is not speaking directly to men anymore, is He? We have to open up the book and find out what God says. Then we have the Holy Spirit. Again, what other order should this be in? God, Christ, Holy Spirit. It's a perfect order, isn't it? Because this is the order that is revealed from us from heaven. In John chapter 14, the verse is 26. John chapter 14, the verse is 26. As we find that God is speaking to the prophets, to the heads of the household, and then Christ comes to speak and God says, you know, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. When Christ came, Christ didn't come to speak of His own accord. He came to speak the things that the Father wanted Him to speak. When Jesus said that He was going to send the Comforter back, the Comforter was not going to speak on His own accord. He was going to speak the things that Christ wanted Him to speak, that the Father wanted Him to tell the Holy Spirit to speak. It's an order, chain of command. We do what we know to be right according to the chain in which we have, and we find the order in God's Word. And then the apostles, this is who Jesus was talking to, who He was going to send the Comforter back to. John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. That's a great order. I don't know why some man would try to mess up this order of authority, but they have. They have taken away what the apostles have said. They've taken away the things that the Holy Spirit has said. They've taken away things that Christ has said. And they have just ignored who God is. And they go about establishing their own authority. We have the book that is called the Bible. The New Testament is where we go and we find our authority for the things in which we do, and we continue to exercise our right and continue to look at the Scriptures and worship and conduct ourselves according to what we find in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. How that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when we read we may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in our ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Where do we get our authority from? It starts with God. It goes down to Christ. It goes down to the Holy Spirit. Then it goes to the apostles. And now we open it up and we read for ourselves what God desires for us to do. And we follow His will because we want to, you know, just make sure that we respect the authority in which we find in the Bible. Examples from the Old Testament. When we start talking about authority, well, we find people ignoring authority just as they do today. We find in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17 in the Garden of Eden, when they were told that they could eat of every tree except one. Every tree except one. Now, you know how we are. You tell me everything you want me to do, and then you tell me something that you don't want me to do. Something somewhere down the line is going to make me, well, he don't want me to do that, so I'm going to ignore his authority. It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But the old serpent said, oh, the day that you eat of it, you shall not surely die. So what did Eve do? She ate of that tree. And she also gave unto her husband. So did they respect the authority of God? Did they respect what God had told them not to do? Oh, they ate of every tree, even the one that he told them not to eat from. Did it make any difference? Did it make any difference? We all know the answer to that. It made a big difference. It made the difference so big and so huge that God put them out of the Garden of Eden. So what authority are we respecting today? What are we doing with our life and the things in which we read that's in the Bible, and the question is asked, does it make a difference? You know, people say that, oh, it doesn't make a difference what you believe. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. And we have to look at the things that are authorized and the things that are unauthorized. And as we talk about the things that are authorized, we have to say, are they necessary and allowed? We have to make this distinction when we start talking about authority. Then we have to say, are there some things that are optional? Some things we can do, or some things we can use, or some things we can't do, or some things we can't use. Authorized, something that is forbidden. Something that's forbidden. I mean, don't do it. Do not eat from the tree that's in the midst of the garden, for the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. God said, don't do it. But we already know they did. And then we find the things that are sinful and not authorized. The things that are sinful and not authorized. In the Garden of Eden, going back again, all other trees, eat from them. Eat from them. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, do not eat from it. Leave it alone. But they did. They did. Cain and Abel. As Adam and Eve were put out of the garden and they had these two sons, Cain and Abel. One, you know, was a shepherd, and the other was a tiller of the ground. We know the story, don't we? We know it all so well. That the sacrifice that Abel brought to the Lord was pleased with. But Cain, he was displeased. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his guilt, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. Abel did good. Cain, on the other hand, he displeased the Lord. And he displeased the Lord so much that he understood this, that he went and killed his brother. And that's the way we are sometimes. We know that God is displeased with us, so we want to discredit someone else. We want to do something to someone else in order for them not to be glorified by God. But although he killed his brother was still glorified. His brother is found to be in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. We need to understand what we're supposed to do today. When we see something that we are authorized to do, we need to do it. Noah was told to build the ark, and Noah followed that command, and he was told exactly how to build that ark. He said, you build it out of gopher wood. And then he gets the dimensions in which he was supposed to build the ark in. And you think Noah ignored those things? He told him to take these animals into the ark with you, and he told him the number of animals he was supposed to take, two of this kind and X amount of this kind right here, because when they finished and the waters began to descend, he was going to make sacrifices, but he still needed those two in order to reproduce. One window. Noah, is all you need to put in that ark. That's all you authorized, is one window. You think Noah said, well, I need a window for all these other animals to look out of, and each one of my family members, I'm going to be looking out of this window, and I want them to go and look out of those windows. Noah didn't do that, because God told him eight people would be saved. He and his family would be saved. So Noah did exactly what God told him to do. How do you cut it? That was optional. If you got a saw, cut it with a saw. If you don't have a saw, you need to do the best you can, Noah. It was optional. It was optional. The length. Those things were optional, but we told him how to build it, what to do, and where. He said, no, you're going to build it in this spot right here. Did he tell him that? Did y'all find that in the scriptures anywhere? If you find it, let me know. Noah, build the ark. When the rains come, that ark is going to float, no matter where it is, because the whole earth was flooded with water. What about cedar? He didn't tell him to use any cedar, did he? He said anything about 12 animals, Brian? Didn't say anything about 12, did he? That's going to mess up the ark. Only got one window? You know what skunks, you know what type of animal a skunk is? When you get up on a skunk and they tell you, once you spray you, you have to go bathe in tomato sauce and all these other things? God didn't say, don't take any skunks, did he? He said, you take two of every kind of animal and then those other ones. Well, what about your relatives? Noah, gather together your relatives. Now, it's already evident that only 8 souls were saved, so that means Noah's relatives, they did not get in the ark. They didn't get a free pass into the ark. Noah, you and your family, your immediate family, are the ones that are going to be saved. The rest, they're going to have to obey. But they failed to obey, so therefore, they were drowned. Authorized and unauthorized. Nadab and Abihu. This is a good story here. They offered strange fire unto the Lord. Now, they were priests, but they offered strange fire unto the Lord, something that was unauthorized, and God was displeased with it, and he sent fire from heaven to consume them. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. We need to think about our worship today. If there are some congregations that we go to visit with, they're doing things that God has not commanded them to do. He commands us to sing, doesn't he? We're going to find that out in just a minute. But we look here at the unauthorized fire because it was what? A sinful, and it was not authorized. You can't do what you want to do and say, God, you be pleased with this. You can't force God to be pleased with something he's already told us not to do. Something he has unauthorized. Application of this principle to the New Testament practices. We need to look at our authority. What do we have the authority to do? Our authority comes from who? God. It comes to Christ, the Holy Spirit, the apostles, and then the New Testament. You want to know how to worship? You open up the book and you see how they worship in the New Testament. And then you begin to pattern your worship after them. This is what God is pleased with. He tells us to baptize. Well, as he tells us to baptize, we know that one important ingredient in baptism is water. You know, we have something in the back here that we, you know, allow the men, the women to put on. We don't have to have those, do we? We don't have to have those things. But what we do have to realize that when we have the water, we have to get in the water, and the individual need to be buried in that water. Why? Because it is for remission of sins. Remission of sins. Whether the water is warm or cold doesn't really matter. Sometimes we know that the water is pretty cold. Many of us have been baptized or were baptized in cold water or warm water or in some cases even hot water. It's optional. The baptistry, this is optional. We don't necessarily have to have this. We can take you down to the river and baptize you. I'm not getting in that dirty water. You want to have your sins washed away, you'll get in that dirty water or that cold water or that hot water. Doesn't necessarily have to be the preacher that does the baptizing, but it needs to be a member of the Lord's church. Can't just go out there and get old Joe Blow off the street and say, hey, I'm ready to be baptized. Will you baptize me? What am I to do? What does this baptism mean? What is it all about? So you have to know. What about infants? Go through it all the time. Again, we say infants, they don't believe, they can't repent, they can't confess, so therefore we do not baptize them. Sprinkling needs to be much water, something that you can be immersed in. Pouring, no way. Again, an immersion in that water. Our worship, what is our worship like? Things that are authorized, things that God allow us to do. things that the Spirit allow us to do. And what is these things? It's in truth. It's in truth. John chapter 4, verse 4, 24. God is a Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't get around it. It's the only way and the only thing that God is going to acknowledge and the only thing that God is going to accept that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. What about the place? We are here at the West End Congregation at 4401 West Broadway. Doesn't matter where you worship Him as long as you worship Him. The hour. Brother Brian went to preach at Central last week and I believe he said they started 30 minutes earlier than we do. Doesn't matter the hour as long as you worship Him. Upon the first day of the week. The Lord's Supper. This is what is important. While we gather together upon the first day of the week, is to take the Lord's Supper. There is a day that has been designated in the Scriptures to worship God and to partake of His Lord's Supper. Now you can worship on any day, any hour, but the Lord's Supper needs to be done upon the first day. What are the emblems? The unleavened bread. The unleavened bread. The fruit of the vine. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and you find what the brothers quote most of the time when they come up and give us the Lord's Supper. The hour, again, it doesn't matter because we do it between 11 and 12 and also between 5 and 6. Before a sermon, doesn't matter. After the sermon, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you partake of the Lord's Supper. Can you do it on a Thursday? The answer is no. Can you do it on a Saturday? The answer is no. God is not pleased with these things. But there are some members of the Lord's church that have said, we're going to get together on Saturday and we're going to have worship service. God, you need to be pleased with it. That's what they're saying. That's what they're presenting unto God. But God is not pleased with those things. And when you start trying to, I'm tired of the unleavened bread, let's have some steak to go with this. Let's have some tea to go with it. Let's do it on a monthly basis because we can't afford steak every Sunday. No, he says upon the first day of the week. And the first day of the week comes every week. Every week. I was given. A lot of people give the way they want to give. Give what they think that, God, again, be pleased with this. Stick your hand in your pocket, whatever comes out, that's what you give. The giving is done upon the first day of the week. There are some congregations you go to, they will pass out the collection plate any and every time you meet together. Whether it's Bible study, whether it's during a gospel meeting, they're going to pass that plate. Is that the first day of the week? The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, it tells us, when we should give. Now concerning the collection for the saints that have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. If you have not been prospered to make anything, you can't give anything. So as God has allowed you to prosper, so must you give. But let's pass the hat. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Let's pass the box. Is anything wrong with that? No. The tray, is anything wrong with that? No. The brother looked this morning, there's only two trays under here. He had to go back in the room and get two more trays. He could have used those two trays. It just would have took up more time. So he went to get the other two. Doesn't matter. Well, we don't have any money to give. We want to go out and solicit some funds. Let's go out and have a pie supper. Has God authorized that? I don't think so. Well, what about car washes? Did God authorize those things? The answer is no. What about bingo games? You know, a lot of us like to play bingo. I say us, I'm not talking about me. Did God authorize that? No. Yard sales. I'm just like the next man. I got a lot of stuff I would like to sell, but it's not a church yard sale. Now, if I have it at my home and I want to bring the money and put it in the collection plate, that's my business. But the church does not have a yard sale in order to gather up funds, in order to take care of what goes on in this local work. We need to know these things. Prayer. It's important that we pray. Pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we say at the end of the prayer. In your son's name or in the name of Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's important that we realize this, that we are commanded to pray. We are commanded to pray. How do you pray? Pray sitting down, pray standing up, pray laying down, pray on your knees, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that you pray, that you pray. Do we pray through Mary? Mary, true, no, by no doubt, was a virgin. She gave birth to Jesus. But other than that, we do not pray through Mary. We do not pray through Mary. And we need to point that out to people. It's not Mary who gave her life for us. It was Jesus Christ. Teaching and preaching. Teaching and preaching. Who do we preach to? People that we feel like preaching to? Our friends, our family? Those that, I think, you know, you need salvation, so I'm going to preach to you. The whole world, everybody needs to hear about Jesus Christ, so that's who we preach to. And we preach the gospel, not what he said, she said, what I feel you need to know. We preach the gospel to them. Many cases, when we look in the book of Acts, we find that they started out, when it talks about preaching, they preached Jesus, the gospel, the good news, to tell an individual what he must do in order to be saved. Optional. What are you traveling? What are you using? Visual aids? You do those things. But what's forbidding? Women preachers. There are many people today that just ignore this. Woman want to preach? Let her preach. Some women can explain things better than some men, but it does not give her the right to preach. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. It's important that we know what the Word of God says. I know that this is one of those subjects that many people don't want to hear about, don't like, you know, when they start talking about authority, because they want to do what they want to do and how they want to do it. But we have to look in the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's look at verse 11 and 12. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. That woman is not to have authority over the man. Men do not have the right to tell that woman, you can preach if you want to, you can lead prayer if you want to, you can preside over the Lord's table if you want to. Man does not have that authority. God did not give man the authority to pass down to a woman to preach. You need to understand that. As we understand it, let's continue to live and abide by it. Singing. We are commanded to sing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. We are commanded to sing. And as we're commanded to sing, very clear. He tells us how to sing and where to make that melody. Yes, we have song books. We need song books because everybody don't know the songs that we sing. So therefore we have an aid. We have the song books to help us out. The number of songs that sing is not important, is it? The important thing is that we sing. Well, I believe that your singing is terrible. So therefore, let's add some piano to it. Let's add an organ to it. Let's add some string instruments to it. Let's add the tambourine to it. Did God authorize that? Did God tell you to add those things to the singing? No, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Well, what about those that's just good singers, the great singers you have in your congregation? I want you to put them out in front of everybody and let them entertain you. Did God tell you to have a choir to entertain you? He tells everybody to sing, everybody. Well, the Scriptures does not say that we can't have instrumental music. That's what people say. The Bible does not forbid it. Does the Scripture have to? The science of the Scriptures does not authorize a religious practice. This is something that we need to get a grasp on, something we need to get a hold on, something that we need to continue to stress to men that are saying, oh, God is not going to send you to hell for playing a tambourine or for playing a harp. That's the type of things that I hear when people call me when we talk about instrumental music. Or I never have agreed with the Church of Christ. I've been a member of it all my life, but I have not really ever agreed that instrument of music is wrong. God does not say in His Word anywhere that you should not play an instrument of music unto me. Did He have to say it? He told us what to do. Did He, when we look in the Scriptures and we find the thing about baptism, the Bible does not say you must not sprinkle water upon a baby as a religious practice. Did He? He didn't say that. He didn't have to say it. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. A baby cannot believe. We don't see it in Scripture. We don't hear anything about it. So therefore, we just leave it alone. That's the best thing to do. Again, the science of the Scriptures does not authorize a religious practice. And I will worship. You must not count beads as an act of worship. And some of you may not know what that's talking about. That's talking about saying the rosary. It's in basic training. And one of the guys came to me. I wasn't a Christian at that time, but he saw that I was trying to live a good life. And he would come to me because he was having problems with his PT test. And he came to me and he said, "Hey, Private Spencer, would you say the rosary for me?" And I was like, "Say who?" I said, "What is that?" And he explained to me what the rosary was. And I said, "No, I'm not saying a rosary for you." I said, "I'll pray for you." And now, even looking back on it, that didn't even do me any good either, because God was not hearing my prayer. Somehow or another, he made it through basic training, though. But it was not because of me counting beads and worshiping God. We have to understand that. And then we continue. The Bible does not say you must not have 40 wives. So what you going to do? You know, it's hard sometimes. It's hard to look at the Scriptures and say, this is what God says, but I'm going to ignore it, because it's going to bother you, and it should bother you. For a man to have a wife and say, I'm going to put her away and I'm going to marry someone else, and then say, I'm not happy with her either and I'm going to marry someone else, and so on and so on. You have to think, was it the problem with the wives, or is it the problem with the man? You must not have 40 wives. The Bible does not have to say it, does it? One man, one woman. That's what the Scriptures teach us. And when a marriage is formed, that marriage should be forever. I know there's a cause that the Bible talks about, to putting the wife away, but you don't necessarily have to put her away. Or that man or that woman does not necessarily have to put that man away. So we have to look at what the Scriptures say. It does not authorize us to have more than one wife. Does the Bible say you should not use instrument of music in worship? Doesn't have to say it, does it? He's already told us how He wants us to sing. Singing and making melody in your heart. So let us continue to do those things. Let us continue to do it. On this morning, I want us to understand that when we look at authority, we have to be able to point to it in the Scriptures. This is what God wants us to do, and this is how He wants us to do it. When we come to our religious services here, when we come to worship, you know, we have set a time where we start worshiping, Bible study at 10, morning worship at 11, and that's what we do. We conduct ourselves in the way that it has already been outlined for us to do. We must have Bible authority for all that we do. It's not, oh, I'm going to do it this way and I don't care what anybody says. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, the first part says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You can't just get up and say what you want to say. We have to have book, chapter, and verse. Have to have book, chapter, and verse. Is it important to have authority? Yes, it is. Is it important to abide by that authority? Yes, it is. For he says, whosoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Who do you have this morning? Who's in your life? Who's ruling your life? Who's governing your homes? Who's governing your acts of worship? Should be God. Should be God. I believe that as we listen to certain men say certain things about what they can do and why they can do those things, and when it's because of self, we challenge them. And we ask them to open up the Bible and show us. And then they jump on the defense. And they say, well, it's not important if it's in there anyway. I'm going to do it. We see the attitude of that man. He's not honest with himself. But when we show people why we do what we do, and they're ready to accept that, they are obedient to God's word. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, and you have seen things done in ways that they should not be done, but you have come here this morning, and you've seen us sing praises unto God without the instruments of music. You've seen us partake of the Lord's Supper because it's the first day of the week. You've seen us give of our means as God has allowed us to prosper because it's the first day of the week. You've seen us pray. You heard the word being proclaimed unto you on this morning, and you're ready to obey. That opportunity is yours to come and to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away before it's everlasting too late. We need to do this. Maybe you're straight away and you're ready to come back to the fold. Don't wait until tomorrow. Do it today. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.